Hello, everybody, and welcome to the very first episode of the Mountain Man Dan Show. We're here today with my buddy Nick. Nick, what do you want to talk about today?
Well, I've been following all the write-ups you've been doing on your new Taurus Tracker 44, so I wanted to get something to kind of compare to it. And the only thing I can really find is the only game in town. I mean, you could get a 44 special, but it's not really much of a comparison. I figured I'd go a little bigger. I went ahead and ordered one of the new Charter Arms 45 Colt Bulldog XLs. I'll pick it up Friday so we can do some T&Eing on both of them at the same time. They're kind of in the same price point.
Okay, yeah, you mentioned a little Taurus Tracker 44, and I reached down into the center console on my pickup here and grabbed it out. I'm a little disappointed that Taurus quit making this with the 2.5-inch barrel. They only offer with that 4-inch ported now. I don't see much point in a 4-inch ported barrel because by the time you take off that 1.5-inch of porting, you're stuck with a 2.5-inch, you know, usable barrel anyway. And then you're just carrying around an extra 1.5-inch of barrel that makes it harder to conceal or a little bit heavier and whatever.
Well, I mean, if it would make sense if it was unported and used on, like, when they used to make the 45 ACP model, that made sense because you get, you know, almost 1911 Commander Ballistics with 45 auto in that platform. But yeah, the porting doesn't make sense to me. I don't really think porting makes that much of a difference on the smaller cartridges, like if you could call 44 smaller. I mean, I'm sure it makes a big difference, like on my 460V, but on that, I wouldn't bother.
Yeah, you know, I've been, you know, I'm a big guy. You know, I'm 6'10" and 300 pounds, you know, so to me, shooting a 44 mag is probably about like shooting 44 special to everybody else. So for, you know, the average, you know, 5'11", 200-pound guy, it might seem like a bit much, but for me, it's like, you know, honestly, I'd put a 454 in this little 2-inch gun. I'd probably still shoot it. But, yeah, I don't know if you saw the write-up I did the other day about the velocity difference between the 2-inch and the 5.5-inch Red Hawk.
It was significant.
Yeah, you know, it was funny. What I found interesting is, you know, with the lighter bullets, like that 180-grain Remington load, you know, I was getting 300 foot per second. 300 feet per second of velocity loss in that 2.5-inch barrel versus that 5.5, versus with the heavier rounds, you know, 240 and 300 grainers, I was only losing about 100 foot per second.
Mm.
I think it has to do with most of the heavier bullets they load is a little bit faster burning powder.
Yeah. I'd almost be willing to bet that the 4-inch tracker being ported wouldn't have done much better ballistically than one you got, honestly.
That's what I'm saying. It's like, I'm halfway tempted to go buy one and try it because they're not that expensive. And you know, on this one here, you know, the Taurus gets a lot of trash talk online among different people and stuff.
I noticed that.
And I don't really get that. You know, I've got the Tracker 44 now, and I've got at least 500 rounds through this one now just in the last couple of weeks with zero issues other than that set screw for the cylinder crane being a little loose. But it was like that out of the box, you know, little blue Loctite, and that fixed that problem right up. I've got a Taurus Model 85, little snub-nose 38, and I guarantee you that gun's got close to 10,000 rounds through it and absolutely zero issues.
Well, you mentioned that. I think I'm at like 2200 through my 856, and it has that same strain screw like your tracker does. I had the same issue at mine, but I'm about 2200, and it's not showing any sign. It's no looser than it was after its initial 300 round break, and I did the first day I got it.
That Model 85 I've got, it doesn't. It's not any looser. Per se, the only wear spot I've really noticed that's showing any significant wear after that many rounds is on the rotation star on the cylinder. There's just a little bit where you can see where that pawl hits it, and there's just a little bit of a burr right there on each one. But you know,
mine's the same way.
You know, but that's, you know, I'm looking at this tracker right now too. You know, it's only got 500 rounds. It's a little shiny right there. I'm not getting a burr on it yet. But it is just a little bit shiny. But, I mean, let's see.
I wonder why they do that.
I'm thinking that Star might just be a little bit softer material than like a Ruger or a Smith and Wesson or something like that, but that is a replaceable part.
Yeah, and like I had the grandfather tier, or well, the father tier tracker a long time ago, and it did exactly that until it wouldn't shoot anymore. It was a Rossi 740. I had the one everybody wanted. Mine was the 3-inch slab barrel, non-fluted cylinder, adjustable sight model. I paid like $300 for it, and
Well, that
it was all right for about 100 rounds, but then it would lock up tighter than Dick's hat band for some reason.
yeah, and I went just over 500 rounds in this tracker without cleaning it. I took it out of the box, I ran a patch through each cylinder and down the barrel, and then I went 500 rounds, most of it with most of it, all of it was 44 Magnum, but most of it was full bore, 44 Magnum. A lot of it was actually my Ruger hand loads with some. I'm not going to make a habit out of shooting out of this gun, but it's what I had on hand and I wanted to shoot it.
Oh,
So,
you could tell. I saw the video.
yeah, no, it does. When you get the cases sticking in the chambers a little bit, it's probably a little bit too hot, but the gun held up really a lot better when I was, but like I said, I've had several other tours. I've had a Taurus, the Tracker 922, their little 9-shot 22 four inch. And I bought that gun used, and I want to say I probably put a good 15,000 rounds through it. And then it finally got to where that star was worn enough where it would just bind just a little bit sometimes when you're cocking it back. And I sent it to Taurus, and I want to say it was about 6 weeks, and the gun showed up and it had a brand new. They replaced the cylinder. They replaced the cylinder and that. That little man, I put probably another 10,000 rounds through it before I sold it, And then I had a, I didn't have, my dad had a Raging Bull 480, and I don't ever remember there being any problems with that one either.
Yeah, my dad had a Raging Bull 44 Magnum, and I actually liked it. It was nice. It had the double cylinder lock, one on the crane and one, at the back like a Smith, and it actually seemed pretty solid. We put quite a few rounds through it and didn't have any trouble.
You want to know something funny? If you go to the Buffalo Bore Plus P Plus loads, they on their approved firearms list, the Taurus Tracker, not the Tracker, the Forest, the Taurus Raging Bull, and their Model 44, their 6-shot 44 mags are both listed on the approved Buffalo Bore list, and there's not a single Smith and Wesson makes that list, not one.
That's funny how that is, but I mean, what I've typically noticed, like I have a 4-inch 629, and typically that's a gun that seems to me like it was designed around the standard 1250 FPS 240 grain jacketed hollow point,
Yeah.
and yeah, that's it.
You know, and I was when I was when I made up my mind, I want a short barreled 44. I didn't really want a 44 special. I would have went with a 44 special, but being the fact that I'm kind of a Tim Taylor of guns, I misunderstand the 44 special a little bit. Maybe when I get older I'll have more appreciation for it, but right now it's just like, yeah, I can handle that 44 special up to the same 1200 foot per second I'm getting out of my 44 mag, but at higher pressure. So in theory, the 44 mag loaded to the same 1200 foot per second is going to have a little bit less aggressive recoil, and with cast bullets, probably just a little bit more accuracy because we're not dealing with the pressure quite as much. And then if I want to, I can really hot rod the 44 mag, especially in my Red Hawks. I've got this Ruger
It
Red
gives
Hawk.
you more room upstairs to go up. I mean, with a 44 special, you're completely maxed out. It's like, I do drag racing. It's like, building a regular old 355 small block Chevrolet as far as it'll go. You have this engine that may make 500 horsepower, but you got to turn 8,000 RPM through the lights and gear the crap out of it, and it lasts, 6 months, and you're rebuilding it. Or you could go to, a big block Chevrolet and go like 502 or 540 cubic inches and have an engine that makes a little bit more horsepower, but you never have to spin it past 5,000 RPM, and it will last you 10 years of nothing but racing.
Yeah, see, there's an old saying in the car guy world, and there's no replacement for displacement, And
Yeah.
I feel that that same thing applies to case capacity.
Yeah. You can always download one, you know,
Right.
but
Yeah, you
when
know,
you've
like every.
limited yourself up top to what you can load it to, you know, you're taking away versatility.
Right. Well, like I was talking, sorry, Rob, I'm gonna point you out here, you know, Rob Leahy the other day. And he's a hardcore 44 special guy, you know.
Nice guy, too.
Yeah, I love Rob. He's a good guy. He makes a hell of a good holster. I've got half a dozen of his holsters now, and he's my go-to leather guy. If anybody needs a good leather holster, I'll put a plug in right here. Simply Rugged Leather, Rob Leahy. Just go there and thank me later. But
He's
anyway,
actually
yeah,
really
thoughts.
reasonably priced, too. Great turnaround time.
Yeah, I want to say he made me model 85. And I want to say I had it in about 2 weeks from the time I sent him a text and said, "Hey, Rob, I'd like to have this," to the time it showed up at my door. You know, a perfect exact fit to the gun, couldn't have been a better fit. And she absolutely loves it. You know, I want to say it was like 2 weeks. And yeah, the price, you know, it's not equal to, probably less than what you'd pay for a name brand leather holster, you know, ordering from Midway or something.
Well,
And,
I'd say he's name brand. Like I was gonna say, if you're a fan of like the old school, like early era Milt Sparks and Galco stuff, his stuff is as good or better, in my opinion. That's just
yeah,
me.
you know, I'll tell you something funny. You know, I've got that 5.5 inch Red Hawk that I've had for quite a while. You
Oh, the
know,
blued one.
I've carried it in a cheap, crappy holster. And here a while back, I ordered a holster for that from Rob. And the only time I've not been 100% perfectly happy with an order, and somehow it got mixed up, and they made me a right-handed holster instead of left-handed for a 5.5 inch Black Hawk. And that holster still fits and works better for my Red Hawk than the sheep holster I had before.
What were
So,
you carrying it in before?
I had like a who the heck made me that one? It was some guy there in Idaho that was just, you know, kind of a small back, you know, little gun show table kind of guy, and it fits real loose. And you know, I paid decent money for it, thinking, you know, I'd be, you know, help the guy out and kind of deal. Yeah, it was a disappointment.
Oh, it's one of those, you know, precise fit holsters that fits guns ranging from, you know, a 642 to a 500 Smith and Wesson, right?
Yeah, something kind of like that, you know. And it kind of persuaded me not to carry the Red Hawk, because as much as I probably should have, just because it wasn't that great of a holster. But anyway, back to Rob Leahy and the 44 Special. You know, I was talking to him the other day about this, you know, shooting in this tracker. I found my favorite factory load is that HSM cowboy style, that 240 grain semi wad cutter.
Yeah, that's a great load. I enjoy it.
Yeah, you know, it's 1150 foot per second out of a, you know, I was getting just over 1200 foot per second out of my 5.5 inch Red Hawk, you know. And I mentioned shooting those to Rob, and he's like, "Oh yeah, it's just like a Keith loaded 44 special."
It pretty much is. It's a very warm magnum. It's not very hot.
Right, exactly. You know, it'd be about the same as a hot 44 special, but like you were saying, that is running the special to the max, where it's just a 44 mag's like, ooh, you know, kind of just starting to feel something here, you know. What, maybe we can get a little more out of this, you know.
That's actually my friend's favorite load for his Model 69. You know, the L-frame 5-shot 44 Magnum Smith makes now. That's about as good as it gets. And I know HSM, they make that cowboy load for 44, and apparently the 41 Magnum's really good from what I hear from people. But that's actually one of my favorite 45 Colt loads to run because it's still. To me, it still feels like a 45 Colt. Some of those cowboy loads you get in 45 Colt feel like you're shooting a 38 wide cutter. It's horrible.
Yeah, I've shot a bunch of the. I bought a little 44 carbine, little one of the older Puma carbines a while back.
Yeah, those are neat.
And the guy gave me, I don't know, it was like 500 or 600 rounds of ammo for it, and most of it was that 200 grain HSM cowboy load. And that's like a 200 grain bullet at like 45 ACP velocities, you know, 800 feet per second, something like that. So I grabbed that box of them. I bought this Taurus. I picked up a box of that 240 grain, thinking it would be about like that. I didn't really look at the velocity on the box. But one thing that bothers me about HSM ammo, they don't put a velocity on the box. You have to go to their website. And I touched
Right.
off the first couple rounds of that. I'm like, oh, this isn't quite like their other cowboy action loads. And I had to get online and kind of left. Like, oh, yeah, this is almost on par with full bore, back jacketed 240 grain type load, But yeah, that's what, like I said, with the 44 special at 1200, 1150, 1200 foot per second, that is maxed out. That's everything it's going to give. Or the 44 mag, I'm just, it's a pretty mild load.
Yeah, and people take it further than that. You remember Dan Wesson did the, what was it, the 445 Super Mag revolvers that would shoot the 44 Super Mag or whatever it was, and 44 Mag and 44 Special. A lot of that
Right.
stuff just dies off. It
And
goes right
I
away.
would see with the a lot of the older guys, you're talking about the 44 Special, and they'd say, oh yeah, well the 44 Special, the recoil is so mild and it's just so pleasant to shoot. I would argue that you increase the case capacity to the 44 Magnum, and you're shooting the same weight bullet at the same velocity that the 44 Magnum would be a little bit less snappy since it's lower pressure.
And typically the 44 Magnums are a bit heavier. I mean, if you compare like a 55 Target 44 Special to a, pre-model 29 44 Magnum in the same barrel length, that the Magnum's a lot heavier of a gun than the, old Target model 1955 Target model is.
Yeah, there's plenty of guns out there too, though, like my little Taurus Tracker. Just take my Tracker 44 mag and put it next to, let's say, a Charger Arms Bulldog or a Smith & Wesson Model 69, very similar sized gun. I would argue that the 44 Magnum would be less snappy with identical loads loaded to, proper case length. The 44 Special loaded into the loaded to the crimp groove, run 1200 foot per second. The 44 mag loaded to the crimp groove, run 1200 foot per second. The 44 mag would be less snappy.
I could see that. And what do you know how much your tracker weighs?
It's not very heavy. I haven't actually put it on a scale.
Isn't it like 48 ounces or something? I thought I read something like that.
It's not anywhere close to that heavy. It's lighter than a ninth. It's lighter than my. I want to say it's fairly close in weight to my aluminum frame Commander 45.
That's one thing I noticed, when I ordered that Bulldog XL45 Colt. I think the specs on it said 33 ounces, and a couple of the people that reviewed them have actually said the recoil is violent and it's horrible to shoot, which I'll be the judge of that. I'm not really recoil sensitive. I shoot 44 Magnum and 454 Casull on the weekends for fun. It's enjoyable to me.
What's the barrel length on that?
2.5. See, that's why I went with it, because it's kind of more close to what you have. It's a kind of a K-ish frame size revolver, 5-shot, big bore, 2.5-inch barrel. The only difference, I know I could have got a regular Bulldog, but I've had a bunch of Bulldogs and 45 Special, and I like them, but I don't like 44 Special enough. I would rather have a 45 Colt. If I'm going to be stuck shooting non-Magnum stuff, especially I have a Charger, I'd rather go with the, heavier bullet,
Right,
bigger
that's kind of,
diameter bullet.
I'm the same way. I'm a big bullet kind of guy. There's a reason, when I carry a semi-auto, I carry a 45 ACP. Now I'm getting to where, I'm getting to where I carry a 44 mag. Just because this is Alaska, and I'm more worried about running into a moose or a bear than no. There's still plenty of tweakers up here, but it's not the main concern. But yeah, I've been super happy with this little tracker so far. There's a lot of people like, oh, I said it's a Taurus and it's gonna come apart on you. And I'm just my experience with the Taurus revolver, maybe the old ones I'm sure had a bad name, and I haven't had any of the real old ones. But I want to say about the time the Taurus came out, the Judge is about the time my dad bought that Raging Bull 480. And all the ones I've had have been newer than that. And they've all been really fantastic guns.
Well, what I always found funny about the people that, I know some of their semi-autos had problems at sometimes, but
Yeah,
people just.
I've had two or three of the Taurus semi-autos too, and they've all been really good guns.
And I have too. I had the PT92 and a couple of their 1911s, and they're not bad, but I always found it funny how the people will trash them, but they'll stick to, what we won't say Smith or Ruger, but like Charter Arms, for instance. Their first guns, the like Bridgeport and Stratford guns, all the early ones were really nice. Everybody says they were like a Smith, and then when Charco and Charter 2000 happened and stuff, they started seeing problems. They've kind of gone through the same thing Taurus goes through. It's, someone different buys the company or runs the company, and then the quality goes down, the tube. But that happens with everything. That's not just one
Yeah,
company.
I've had a couple of the newer Chargers arms. There was when we lived in Montana for a while. I picked up a Chargers arm Pink Lady for Amanda, my wife, just because she was starting to show some interest in shooting. And I thought, some of those 38 might be a good choice for her. And she didn't really like it. It was that I didn't like it. It was. We didn't shoot it all that much. The trigger was real gritty in it. And it wasn't. It wasn't actually my gun. I borrowed it from somebody to try out, so I couldn't take it apart and try to smooth it out or anything. And then I had the thing for probably about a year, before I saw Gene again to give it back to him. And in the meantime, I picked up that Model 85 in a trade, and it was brand new in the box. And we started shooting that, and it was phenomenally better as far as trigger pull and just smoothness. And I was absolutely impressed with how accurate that thing was. I shot the first five shot group at it, 15 yards, and blew me away when I walked up and everything was under an inch.
Yeah, I saw those groups. That was pretty impressive, actually, for what it is. I'll just say I've had a lot of five shot Chief Smith and Wessons that didn't shoot that accurate.
Yeah, both of my this is a that little 922 out of all the Taurus I've had, that little 922 22 long rifle was the least accurate. And it was, the 22, they're not inherently accurate anyway with cheap ammo. And
Nope.
I'm a tightwad, so I don't buy good ammo for 22s. After I got used to the recoil on this 44 and could really, got used to where to hold the sights and that kind of stuff. I've shot some pretty impressive groups with this little Tracker 44 also.
Well, I'm going to be kind of curious to see how the Bulldog XL kind of stacks up against that, because they're kind of in the same price range. I know, like me locally, the same shop where that Bulldog's coming from, they have the 4-inch ported stainless Tracker 44 mags out for $425, and
See,
the
up here that Tracker, I see them, they're about $600 up here. That's because 44 mags are much more popular.
No kidding. I mean, in Nashville, I guess the only thing you could use it for is to shoot holes in a dumpster, which people do. But the Bulldog was only 373 out the door and everything. That's actually really good value for money. I mean, for a big bore revolver, that's pretty cheap.
Yeah,
So,
I think the sticker price on this Tracker was like 522, but I didn't pay anywhere close to that for it. I think I was more in the 350 range by the time it was all said and done.
that's a lot of gun for the money. It really is. And I like my Smith and Wessons a lot, and I like Rugers, but it's, sometimes you ain't got 700 or 800 or $1,000 to drop on one.
Yeah, and I see one of the biggest complaint I see about the Taurus Tracker, and all of them, is people are like, oh, the cylinder will stop rotating on it. You'll go to make your second double action shot, and like I was showing you that the other day, it's because you get used to shooting a semi-auto, or most other double action guns, and when you feel that trigger reset, you're good to go, and you'll feel that distinctive click, when the trigger's resetting on this thing, and that's not it. You actually have to let it out a little bit further than that, and there's just a very faint second click, and then it will rotate, and then it will cock the hammer back, and instead of just rotating the cylinder. And I Shooting 1911 so much, I'm terrible about short stroking triggers when I'm shooting fast.
Because you're used to a kind of a soft, short reset.
Right, I'm used to grabbing a 1911, and my 1911s all have the triggers adjusted to no over travel and almost no take up. It's right there. That's the way I like a trigger to be. I grew up shooting single action revolvers and varmint type rifles, bolt action rifles a lot. So I like a very short trigger with no over travel. That's the way I like my triggers.
Yeah, and like me, I grew up shooting nothing but K frames, like Model 10s and Model 15s is always what was around. And the first semi-autos I had any sort of experience with were P Series Rugers. Like early on, one of my first ones I had my own was a P91 double action only. I've always liked double action guns, but who remembers the Taurus Gaucho? That's a gun I wish they'd make again. They were really affordable and like a lot nicer than some of the cheap Colt clones. I don't know why they quit making it.
Yeah, you still got that Rock Island Colt clone?
I sort of broke it.
I told you I never I only got a ch you know I didn't I've never owned one, but I got a chance to shoot and play with one, and I wasn't very impressed with it.
Very primitive. It's not, they say it's a copy of a Colt, but let me tell you, I've had a lot of Colts and there's nothing in it that's like a Colt. It looks kind of like one. If anything, it looks more like a Moroku than it does a Colt. But I think I got 450 rounds to that gun. And the problem I kept having was, running my typical crap 38s that I like shooting. I usually shoot like Fiocchi 148 grain full wide cutters. And, they let up so bad the gun would just seize up and get tight, wouldn't shoot anymore. And then I ended up breaking one trigger return spring. I replaced it and then it eventually wore out the cylinder hand, all that stuff, and it's really soft.
Yeah, I've had a few of the Rock Island 1911s, and I'll go through and peen and then make them super tight, and you'll shoot 500 rounds and they'll be all loose and sloppy again. They're not like a an American made 1911 where you can take your time and peen it and pinch a slide and all that kind of good stuff, and it'll stay tight for a decent amount of time. And I was really I told you at the time you bought that between the two of them, I would go hands down for a Taurus over that Rock Island. And I guess you had to see for yourself.
Yeah. Well, I don't know if you noticed, but Springfield Armory is doing the Defender Series GI 1911s for around $500 street price now. Forged frame, forged slide, forged barrel.
Yeah, they're the guy. There's a lot of good American-made pistols on the market. And I could definitely see the argument that, the some of the American, especially in the autoloaders, are so cheap, why would you even look at a foreign made gun? And I can see that point. And I'm saying that as I'm sitting here holding my beloved Taurus Tracker. And in the auto world, I would say yes. When you can pick up a Ruger 1911 for 650 versus the Rock Island for 550 or 500, I would hands down spend the extra 100 or 150 bucks on the Ruger or a Springfield or God help me, even a Kimber before I'd buy another Rock Island 1911. Don't get me wrong, I never had any serious problems with my Rock Island 1911s, but there's way better ones on the market for not that much more money.
Right.
In the revolver world, that's not really the case. You can pick up two or even three of these Tauruses for the price of a Smith and Wesson.
Right.
Same thing with Ruger. Rugers have gone up in price in the last couple of years too. They're not the cheap. I remember my first Ruger that I bought was a. I bought two Rugers. My first started getting into pistol. My first pistol I ever shot was a Ruger Blackhawk 45 Colt. 45 ACP convertible, and after that, I went out and bought a single six and a security six right around the same time. I think I was about 12 or 13 years old, and I want to say I paid about 180 bucks each. Right in that price range, and man, you can't touch a single six for under 350 anymore.
Here in Nashville, I mean, a used one's going to run you 450 or up. I mean, they're expensive here. That's a popular gun here in Middle Tennessee.
I'm actually pretty excited about that new little Ruger Wrangler because of that, because I have a very strong dislike for the heritage pistols. I've had a couple of them. My dad's had a couple of them. I've had known enough people to have them. I've worked on them, and they're little pop metal pieces of junk. And I'm really hoping that for a similar price point, that new Ruger Wrangler is going to be a really decent shooter grade single action 22.
What I'm curious about is, for what I'm hearing is there's supposed to be a straight price between 140, 150-ish. What is that going to do? Because around here, like a Heritage, the Rough Rider, your street price, like at Academy or any local gun shop, is going to be about 129. They're
Right.
going to have to lower the price on it to stay competitive. How cheap will a Heritage get, I wonder, to try to compete with the Ruger Wrangler?
Yeah, I mean, how much crap? I mean, again, I've heard the newer Heritages are better than their older ones. I haven't had one in a few years. I've got enough of a bad taste in my mouth. I wouldn't buy another one. I've been a little bit. I haven't actually seen a Ruger Wrangler yet to buy. I have every intention of buying one when I see one. Don't tell my
Oh, me
wife I.
too.
But I have every intention of buying one when I see one. But every time I go to any of the local gun stores here in Fairbanks, it's just like, oh yeah, man, we got like three or four of them. They sold, boom, just like that.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
That's what happens, man. Jeff Quinn reviews one, everybody buys them.
Yeah, you know, I probably wouldn't, you know, in fact, I'll probably pick one up here. They're gonna be hot. I've been once they kind of slow down on the sales a little bit, I think the price will go down just a little bit more on them too.
What'll really interest me is if they make a Wrangler in 17 HMR. I'll go out and buy one in every finish they got.
I haven't had good experiences with bottleneck pistols. I would really like to see them make that Wrangler in a 22 or 22 mag convertible though, you know, or even just a 22 mag, because I really like a 22 mag for outrunning my trap line in the winter, because you just get that little bit of extra pop, you know, if something actually breaks out of a trap when you're getting ready to pop and you got to fight it off of you.
Well, call me, I guess it's the Elmer Keith in me that says this, but, for a while they were making, their small frame single actions in 327. And I said, they used to make the Bird's Heads, like the John Wayne edition Bird's Head in 32 H&R Magnum. I'm telling you, a Wrangler in 32 H&R Magnum would be like sweet, even if it's only a five shot. That would be a really sweet gun, especially if it was under $200. You wouldn't keep them on the shelf. And like an adjustable sight model 32 H&R Mag Wrangler for like $225, that would be a market changer.
Or even a 32 Smith and Wesson Long, that'd be a pretty fantastic little, you know, pistol too.
Yeah. Oh,
You know,
yeah.
that would be
Definitely.
aluminum with that cast aluminum frame, or four, I'm not sure if it's cast or forged, with that aluminum frame, the 32 Long might be a better choice. But I'd still take a 20. I'd take a 32 Long any day of the week over the. Damn! Now you got some gears. Now you got some bad gears turning in my head, Nick.
Well, I mean, think about it. Smith and Wesson was making their J-frame airweights in 32 H&R for a long time. And
Oh, yeah, I had one of the older single sixes in 32 mag. My dad got a single six in 32 mag that he is pretty much his everyday carry. He either carries that or he carries a Bisley in 357 Magnum. But he really likes that little 32 H&R. Mine was the 4 5/8 inch barreled model of adjustable sights, and I never could get that thing to really shoot very good. Whereas the one my dad has. He bought a rusted up, ugly, bottom of the boat looking single six 22, and reamed it out and converted to centerfire.
Wow, okay.
But he wanted a 32. Nick, you know me, I'm a tightwad. You have not met my dad. My dad is the mate is tightwad supreme of the world. And if he can, you know, yeah, you can go out and buy a 32 mag Ruger. If he can build it for $50 cheaper, he's going to build it for $50 cheaper.
Wow.
Even if
Well, I mean, maybe we should make a Wrangler and a four shot 44 Magnum. I mean, maybe that's the direction we need to go then.
know what? Let's honor us to do so. Let's honor the old guy. Let's go with a 4-shot 44 special.
There you go. There you go. Oh, man.
No, you got my gears. You got some gears turning in my head now. Like I said, my dad converted that one to centerfire and had it rechambered to 32 mag. And you got me thinking about picking up one of those little Wranglers now and seeing if the seeing if they got the same firing pin sleeve as the single six. And if they do, I might just build one of those into a 32 long. That'd be a fun, or even a 32 ACP.
That would be cool. That would be cool.
You
Or
know,
any of those, yeah.
the price of 22 ammo these days, I could reload that. I could reload 32 long for about the same price and have quite a bit more pop for a little trap. The only problem with running something like that as a trap line gun is you get a bigger bullet hole in a hide. But, you know, when you got something trying to eat you, like when you do have something to break out of the trap, you kind of stop worrying about holes in hide and start worrying about, what it's going to take to get out of this.
That just seems unlike you, though. I figured you, for a trap line, you'd be carrying something, reasonable, like a 416 Rigby or a 600 Nitro Express.
Yeah, you never know. I've always got my 458 Win Mag within arm's reach. It's behind the seat in the pickup right now.
Yeah, to quote Mark Sullivan, my 90-year-old mother has a 458, and it's her favorite gun to shoot.
All right, Nick. Well, I think we need to get this one wrapped up. I got to be to work here in a few minutes. I'm just getting put back on night shift here for a few nights. So I think we'll go ahead and get this show wrapped up, and we'll try to get it on next week and see if we can do it again.
All right, sounds good to me, man.
All right. Sounds good, Nick. Talk to you later.
Yeah.
Bye.